Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm the host Tobias Woggan and I'm talking here to Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from triathlon to gravel racing. And today I'm talking to Kasia Niviadoma, a pro cyclist from Kenyan SRAM Women's Racing. And we're talking about teamwork, Tour de France and of course Olympics. I wanted to know what exactly is teamwork in cycling, how to prepare for Olympics, and what are her big goals for this season. All that in this episode of Pumped. Hey Kasia, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. It's been a while since we tried to have you on the podcast. So you are so busy this year. Is it like a normal year or is it especially crazy with the Olympics this year?
Hey, Toby. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast to start with. I definitely believe that this year has been quite busy in comparison to any other ones. I think just mostly because of very intense summer. Of course, we have Olympics coming up and Tour de France, and after a short break, there's European Championships and World Championships. So I feel like end of the season is very condensed.
Yeah, I mean, I was scrolling on your Instagram feed, and I mean, you have done already so many races this year, starting with the early year classics and now doing this bigger event. So how is it right now? I mean, where are you and what are you doing right now?
Yeah, the season was busy, although I must admit that I actually said no to a couple more races because of choosing to go to altitude training camps. Mm-hmm. As we could notice in the last couple of years, altitude camps became very crucial and important in every sort of race preparation. So now riders, instead of building shape with races, go up to altitude. So I feel like actually this year I've been just living on altitude, which to some extent also feels weird and funny. And yeah, speaking right now, I'm speaking from Andorra, another altitude location where I actually spend a lot of time. So yeah, I am staying here for a couple more days before heading down to Paris for Olympic Games.
Okay, so it's really the last little training before
final push.
Yeah, the final push.
Exactly.
I mean, you are born in, I hope I pronounced the name right, Linanovia?
No, so there's a little correction. So,
okay.
Yeah, I am born and raised in Ochotnica Górna, and Limanowa is just the name of town where the hospital was located. So quite often that place is put next to my name, but it was just the place of the hospital. But I definitely grew up in Ochotnica Górna, which is a small town in southern Poland, close to the mountains.
Okay, so it's close to the mountain, because I thought, what I googled was, it's more like rolling hill country, and I was wondering, how can you be so good in the mountains as a cyclist growing up in these little hills? But
now, what's better question? How Dutchies can be so good climbing when they were born and raised in such a flat country? That's the question I can never answer. You know, I'm thinking about Anna van der Breggen or Anna Meek and now Damie. Like, how come?
Yeah, I mean,
it's unfair.
This is crazy, huh?
But
growing up in Poland, how did you get into cycling? When did you start?
So I started riding my bike, of course, from a very young age. But it was riding a bike with friends and cousins, just some sort of, it was a tool that would allow me to play and move around different neighborhoods and just like a tool that would allow me to feel free as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 15 years old, my dad At that time, he was getting into cycling with his friends, and there was this one summer where he just basically brought a little road bike back home, and he asked me if I want to do the race next day with him. So everything happened just kind of purely accidentally, I would say, because I just agreed on that race and I won that race, and that's how I was introduced to my first coach, who later suggested or offered me training camp with the rest of the team. So I was on that club team as the only girl, and which at first wasn't like very entertaining or encouraging, but I was super lucky to be surrounded by a group of people that were so fun to hang out with. And I think that for the first years, I wouldn't call it career, but the first year of my cycling journey, I was just doing it because I loved people that I could hang out with. And cycling allowed me to broaden my horizons, to like go further, to see more places, to travel. And I always felt that I needed that. In some ways, I wanted to just be on the move all the time, and cycling was perfect for it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a bicycle is a perfect tool to get to know people or landscape and explore, huh? It's really the best. Yeah.
It also gives you independence, you know, when mm-hmm. you're underage and you don't have a driving license, you relate or you depend on your parents. So I think that bicycle was something that would just like allow me to feel free, independent, and in some ways mature, because mm-hmm. I would just be like, okay, I'm gonna go ride my bike or train, and I didn't have to explain myself or give any sort of excuses why I was gone for 3 or 4 hours, for example.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably most of the kids using this bike as a tool, as you just said, huh? Just going around if you can't drive a car or something. But there's a totally different story using the bike as a tool and then making a career out of cycling. So what kept you in the racing mm-hmm. scene or in cycling? Was it the feeling like, I really like to win something? or was it like cycling is just the best thing you can do?
I think that was a combination of a lot of different factors. But as I mentioned before, my first club team was like, it basically consisted of 99% of boys. And mm-hmm. at first I was the only girl, and then we had two more girls on the team. So I was heavily surrounded by boys, and I remember having this desire of wanting to be in a women's team, like women only. And then I got a chance to traveling to Ofida for European Championships in Italy. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I actually saw women only club teams or nationalities. And I was like, wow, they all like have the same bikes, the same helmets, shoes. And it was so like special mm-hmm. for me to see. And I remember just wanting to belong to one of those teams, like wanting to be part of women's cycling. And that's when I started to research different athletes, and I found Marianne Vos, and I started to follow her and like watch her cyclocross races. And I was just like admiring her, and life is so interesting, because then a year later I would end up in the same team as where she was riding. So I think that in my career I would quite often interact with people that knew how to guide me, and always I would find myself in the right place at the right time. So I feel like I'm just beyond grateful to universe for making things happen in some ways for me.
Yeah, I mean, but do you still think it helps you during your career that you grow up cycling with a lot of boys?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that they allowed me to kind of sharpen my competitiveness, because I remember going out for bike rides with them or going for runs or hikes, whatever, and they would always challenge me, they would always want to drop me, because it's like, how come a girl can be still with a group of boys? So but we always also all these people, all those boys, they were so fun. We were really close friends, like super close friends. So we would have a lot of fun, but we would also suffer so much and we would just like push our limits. So I definitely remember that they would teach me what suffering on the bike feels like. Like they would always, you know, like give me this extra notch where I would be just like completely dead at the end of the ride. Or so I definitely feel like the limits or barriers were set high from a very early age for me.
I mean, you are known as a all-around cyclist. I mean, you're really good in the mountains, you're technical super good, you are really good on a gravel bike. So how comes that you're talented in so many different I would say cycling disciplines or
I think that that's kind of like a part of women's cycling, because of course when you look at men's cycling you have like TT specialists, although right now also TT specialists are really good at grand tours, as we could see with Remco, for example. But I feel like in women's cycling still like people who are capable of fighting for victories during classics, they're equally able to fight for victories in stage races or like gravel races. I think that my downside is sprinting. I'm not the fastest rider. Either it comes from my lighter weight or just like not being able to produce such a high power. But I feel like once you represent a good level, like in climbing or graveling, it's kind of easy to transfer it on the different disciplines, because ultimately it's like, as you mentioned, also like having a good bike skills, and that allow you to either save energy in the race or move through peloton like stress-free and just like save extra something for the final.
Okay, so do you have the feeling that stepping into gravel racing and winning gravel world champs and everything helps you on road cycling as well? I mean, in descending and all that stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So before gravel became gravel, like before this whole, discipline became a thing, I would definitely spend a lot of time, especially in the winter time or just after the off season, riding gravel paths or gravel roads with my husband. He retired in like 2019, and from that moment he kind of protested on riding on the road. So I was always forced to be on the gravel with him, because he just didn't want to see asphalt road for some reason. So yeah. I was like, okay, let's just like find different roads. So I think that we've been doing it for a long time, and then of course it became like the racing became a bigger thing, and I was like, oh, that actually would be nice to just try, because I've been doing it for a long time, so let's see where's my place. So actually it was funny that my first race, gravel race, was World Championships, and I was able to win it. I think that also then allowed me to be a better road cyclist, because I actually understood few principles when it comes to racing, like especially saving energy, because you know in the gravel like you fight against everyone else and everyone else fights against you and the conditions on the road, and there's very little team tactics or like team securing or saving one rider for the final. So then you realize that if it's like only one against one and everyone has to suffer equally, then the level is completely different in comparison to how on the road sometimes, you know, people waste so much energy in the first part of the race, not being able to fight in the final. So that definitely allowed me to change my perspective on how I should approach road racing.
Okay, so if you see pictures of you, I mean, you always smiling, you're always happy, and you, almost make it look easy to have a career or to race. But I mean, I know it isn't, and there are some really, really hard days. But what would your perfect day look like on the, it has to be training. Yeah, it's not an off day, but how would your perfect training day look like?
So, okay, there are, I would say, when it comes to riding a bike, there's training and there's riding a bike. Because when I think of my perfect day spent on the bike, that definitely would be just like waking up early in the morning, getting on the bike with a group of friends and just like going somewhere, you know, without having destination, without having any plan, but wanting to spend as much time on the bike as possible, discovering new roads and basically having fun, kind of going back to what riding a bike looked like when I was a kid. You know, you just, you go with gravity, you don't have to push so hard. You just, sometimes you play for town board sprints or you are more playful with the bike. And I think that I really need to have days like this throughout my year, throughout my season, in order to find the balance where then I can get on the bike and do the work that my coach planned for me. So then when it comes to training, I do actually, depends on the time of the year, because sometimes I like to have like endurance ride for 5-6 hours, but sometimes I like to have 3 hours ride with a bunch of intensity. So it's like you just focus on each task, and it's I like having those trainings before important race, because quite often I get stressed with certain workout because I don't want to disappoint myself or I don't want to fail. So I feel like during the training, I also learn how to fight nervousness or stress feeling before important events. So once I'm past that, then it's so much easier to do it during the race. For example, like right now, we have Olympics in 1 week. And yesterday I was having this intense training ride and I knew I needed to have it done, not because I wanted to get another good training ride in, but I wanted to like manage my feelings, because when something big is coming, then there's so much coming to your head. So sometimes it's nice to just like get over it in a training session versus during the race day.
So it was more a mental ride yesterday than a training ride.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So we just talked about the happiness and the you make it look easy. Is that helping you during these hard times of the year when you're having days like yesterday where you have a long days, or even when you're doing these multi-day or multi-week races where not every day is the best day in your life, but is this happiness helping you to still be positive and looking ahead?
Yeah, definitely. I think that when it comes to happiness, especially when racing is, sometimes I feel like racing is the easiest part of being cyclist, because training camps or hard training blocks are really demanding, and you know, sometimes you do things during the training days that just like wear you down and leave you without life for the rest of the day, just like laying on the couch because you're so tired and you're antisocial, you're anti like anything. Sometimes, you know, I have a really hard training blocks and I become this, sometimes my husband called me grumpy babushka because I'm tired and hungry and like weirdly irritated with everything, and he just knows that okay, he needs to leave me alone. But once I recover from that and I come to a race and I feel great, so that's why you see me smiling, because I'm past all the hard work and now then I know that all I can do is just race my bike and do my best. Like the work is done, so it's time for some sort of performance. Okay. And so, also I think that like being on a team where you feel comfortable and yourself also allows you to just have fun in some ways. So yeah, being on Canyon's Run racing team definitely helps me in that.
Yeah, I mean, you just announced that you're staying with the team because it's such a good teamwork and such a good feeling in the team, and you like to reach your goals with the team. So how important is teamwork in the cycling or in the discipline you do?
teamwork is super important, and unfortunately it gets rarely rewarded publicly. So sometimes, like say after Flash Fallon, we had such a great teamwork. We had every rider gave their best, and it was a terrible race because of the weather conditions. And I remember during the race we were just talking to each other a little bit because everyone was frozen, so you couldn't have a proper conversation. But those little bits here and there, I remember, helped me so much to stay focused. And then after crossing the finish line, you get to hug your teammates, but you don't get to like take them with you on the podium or for a press conference or for just like a group celebration in front of the public, you know? It's kind of sad that every single winner gets on the podium alone, even when you think about Tour de France. Like, okay, I guess Pogacar celebrated with his whole team, but when you think about the amount of work guys put into his victory, it's enormous. And yet then at the end of the day, he's just there on the podium on his own. So I wonder if one day, like, cycling will change that after, okay, maybe the main podium, there will be another celebration for the whole winning team, you know, that everyone gets to really seize the moment and celebrate all together. And I'm not only talking about the riders, but the whole staff and anyone who was involved in the success.
Yeah. Do you think, like, something like in Formula One, where you have the individual championship and the constructor championship, where the whole team is rewarded?
Yeah, definitely that would be nice. Of course, we have UCI ranking, but nothing happens with it at the end of the year. We just see statistics. Mm-hmm. But definitely would be cool if at the end of the year, actually, like with the last World Tour race, there was also rewarding for the winning team.
So when we're talking about team tactics and teamwork during the race, it's probably really hard to understand for normal people how that works.
Yeah.
Can you talk me through a little bit of the teamwork you do during a stage race or a multi-day race?
Yeah, so teamwork basically starts at the beginning of the season, where at the training camps we all get to know each other, especially the riders that just joined the team, and we do our best to like get to know each other, to bond, to find each other's strengths and weaknesses that then later on we can work on. And it's the same with physios or mechanics and any other member of a team. And then we move on with races. And of course, during the race, each rider gets a role for the race. So you have helpers, commonly known as a domestiques. Then you have helpers. Okay, there are also, you can divide helpers into people who are responsible for first part of the race, meaning going into breakaways or just controlling the peloton and protecting their leader. And then you also have people that are responsible for like a second part of the race, meaning like more going into the final and making sure that the leader does least amount of work before key moment, or like making sure that they get into the groups before the key moment, so once peloton is exploded there are like satellite riders in front. And then, of course, you have leaders who are responsible for delivering the best result, basically. So, and of course, like in the race, anything can happen. Road cycling isn't like this calculated sport like what people do on track or with ITTs. Like, there are so many factors that can affect teams' performance, like crashes or punctures or other teams' tactics and ideas for the race. And sometimes helpers become winners and leaders just have to stay quiet in the back because the action of the race is not developing the way it should. So I think that maybe that's also what makes cycling so interesting, is that anything can happen and nothing is predictable or super calculated.
Do you have a certain role in the team, or is it changing from race to race or from track to track, or even during one stage?
So for the most part, I find myself in a leadership position, which I also share with some other riders, depending on the race. Like before the season, I always mention 3 to 4 races that I really want to win. And those are the races that I want full support from my teammates. But there are also races that I come to support others or to help others learn the leadership position or role, especially that our team consists of a lot of young riders.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes they're coming to the race and saying that I'm co-leader is also there to just like help a young rider feel less pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that like one rider gets leadership position and she doesn't really know how to cope with the feelings, but I'm there to help emotionally and then in the race as well. But also, like, women's cycling is changing so much, and maybe men's cycling as well, in a way that a lot of people race the races they want to win. There's less of, like, racing certain events just to race, because our calendar is packed with so many important races that if you prepare for something, you want to seize the moment, you want to get the victory. And I think that like before, there would be quite a lot of races, but maybe 2 or 3 very important ones. So it was easier to like come to flat race for me, for example, and race for a sprinter, where now I would rather go to a training camp on altitude and prepare for a big classic or a stage race. So with that, also teams are growing. There are more riders joining the teams and the number of the riders grow. So that allow us to actually make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, as you said, cycling change and also the visibility of everything changed. Because, I mean, I think 2 years ago, Netflix stepped into men's racing and made a really good documentation about how Tour de France works and how teamwork works in the Tour de France, and I think more people understand how complex the sport is, and there are more fans, and a lot of people getting interested into the sport. Can you feel this hype as well?
I definitely can feel the change that happened after our first Tour de France Femme avec Zwift in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say just after COVID, actually. For some reason, after COVID, everything became more serious and there were more sponsors being interested in supporting and helping women's teams, and more men's teams opened up their women's team along their side. So that definitely helped cycling grow more, because of course you have more riders who can fully commit to their trainings and recovery, where before some riders would also do like have a part-time job, for example. So having bigger races in our calendar, especially having like a proper stage race, Tour de France Femme, brought attention of different media. And because to be honest, like if you ask a random person on the street if they know anything about cycling, they just say, oh, Tour de France.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember amount of times I would be asked if I race Tour de France when I introduced myself as a cyclist, and I would say no. So I immediately felt that they would think that I'm an amateur, you know, that not professional, because I've never done Tour de France. So it's actually pretty cool to be able to say that, yeah, we also have our edition now, even though it's shorter, but it's there.
Yeah. And I have the feeling that more teams focus more on women's racing. I mean, I just heard a podcast with Red Bull Bora Hans Grohe, and they also talked about women's cycling, and they are planning to invest more into women's cycling and more teams opening up. What does that mean for you? I mean, if there's more money involved, there are probably coming more talents in the sport. Is this there's a change going on for you?
I definitely feel the change, yes, because, you know, my first professional contract I signed in 2014, which is 10 years ago, and, like, there are massive differences in, yeah, when it comes even to salary, what a young rider gets when the person enters women's cycling,
mm-hmm.
or the visibility of our races, and, like, coming back to money, also prize money grow, and there is a progress happening every year. I can definitely see that. Also the amount of staff we have on the team and amount of people involved in general growth and media attention, and the fact that our races are broadcasted, where, like, I clearly remember times that it was so hard to find any race, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like I would do Giro d'Italia and Giro Rosa at that time, and my parents would have to, like, stay up until 1 a.m. to see something on Rai Sport, like some sort of recap. So it was different, definitely at different times, and I'm super happy with that progress, because, like, you know, deep inside, I hope that one day when maybe I have a daughter and she gets into women's cycling, that she will be laughing at the times and I will tell her that there were differences between men and women cycling, you know.
Yeah.
I hope that the growth will lead to equality, and the fact that every rider feels the same, that they don't feel like, despite putting the same amount of work and sacrifice, they still need to be kind of left behind or get less, because I don't find the reasoning for that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, I think the pain is for everything the same, huh? I mean, the hills are the same height and everything. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about team and how important it is to be in a good team, and that cycling is a team sport. Now we have a special event coming up, the Olympics. Is the mm-hmm. Olympics a team sport event in cycling?
Yeah, it is to some extent. Of course, everyone goes there hoping to get a medal.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really goes there hoping to be the best teammate ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yet also we are all professional riders, and we're honest with ourselves, and we can communicate without, like, hiding something or keeping away from others. So I definitely know that, for example, going to Paris is a course that, to be fair, suits a lot of riders. It's not a course that it's only for pure sprinters or for pure climbers. It's a course that anything can happen, and maybe that's for the best, because the race will be controlled or will not, because also we have to remember that Olympics, it's always a weird race, because
mm-hmm.
the teams are super small, and riders that often race against of each other all of a sudden are teammates now. So
mm-hmm.
That makes everything super weird. And to be honest, like, going to Olympics, I of course, like, want to do my best in order to win medal, but at the same, I understand and I kind of accepted the fact that anything can happen. And out of all the races I've done, always Olympics was the weirdest and the strangest one. So I'm prepared for super passive race and maybe insanely hard final, or, like, all the possibilities. I think that also the fact that the Olympics is just, like, 1 week before Tour de France
mm-hmm.
allow us to kind of take it with a little bit of less stress, because you know that, like, 1 week later you start this big stage race, so
yeah.
You can easily switch your mind to another goal.
Yeah. Isn't it weird? I mean, I don't know if it's the same in road cycling, but it's in mountain biking that during the World Cups, during all the races, you're with your team, you're with your mechanicals, you're with the same physios and everything, and in the Olympics you're with the federation. That means you're racing for your country and you have different people taking care of
yeah.
you. Is that something what how does it feel?
To be honest, yeah, it is weird, but speaking from my personal experience, I don't see a big problem with it,
mm-hmm.
just because I really like my federation and people I work with. I think that we've been together also for a couple of years, so I kind of like diving into a Polish environment because I can just like be fully myself and understood in a different way than what people see me as when I speak English. So it's always a nice kind of motivational kick when I'm with Polish Federation. Of course, sometimes maybe the thing that like I write for German team and everything is super well organized and scheduled for you. And then if you go to different environment, you kind of expect the same, but it might be the opposite. So I think that the only challenge could be with that. But other than that, for me, it's like there is no problem at all.
And what it means for you to racing for your country, to represent your country, to having the colors of your country?
It's definitely very special. It's special because I think that with possible success, you reach different audience and people that know you from your country from a different perspective. So I feel like anytime I would be able to get a good result representing Polish Federation, that would allow to kind of like awaken women's cycling in Poland, which is definitely some sort of my ultimate goal to make it alive there. Because I do believe that we have plenty of talents that basically cannot be developed. So it's nice to like think that I could be a figure for young riders, for young girls. Because I remember growing up and watching cross-country skiing, and there was this one Polish athlete that I just loved following. And basically she also taught me how to, like, the hard work ethics. So I definitely hope that one day I could be that kind of figure for somebody else. But yeah, I definitely remember hearing Polish anthem when winning world championships, and that was very special moment.
Yeah, I absolutely love the idea to support others or inspire others. I mean, especially in Olympics, it doesn't have to be just cycling, huh? Every athlete from Poland is probably inspired by you doing your best in your discipline. So I really like the idea. It's cool.
Yeah.
So the last question is, what are your goals for the rest of the season? I mean, it's still a long season, still a lot of highlights to come, but what is your goal and what are your topics?
Yeah. So definitely right now I am preparing for Olympics and tour, preparing myself for getting medal at Olympics, and like I dream high, but I would love to win Tour de France. I am realistic and I know that Damien is in a super great shape, but I also know that all the hard work I put into training has to like eventually pay off. So I hope that I will be able to, or that my shape will stay high enough for those events where I will be able to fight for the best results. So to be honest, right now I'm focusing only on those two races. I definitely will take a good deserved rest after Tour de France. I just want to disconnect, forget about everything and come back for Worlds. I think that Worlds also has very interesting course, and in some ways I would want to do ITT as well, just to start practicing it. On the other hand, I don't know if I should only focus on the road race, because there are the chances where I can actually have a good result. So hard to know. But for now, definitely, I would say medal at Olympics, winning stage at the Tour de France, and hopefully getting on the highest step.
Yeah, that's... I really wish you all the best for this. I mean, as I said, I mean, you have an incredible hard season and started pretty early, and now you have this big highlights coming up. So I really wish you all the best, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, and especially next week in Paris, all the best, and I hope you your dreams come through.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the chat.
So, bye-bye.
Bye.